Yes, Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. What is the responsibility of the heads of the family household? It's to raise up children to maturity and to prepare them to be able to do the same for their families. They don't have to be doctors and lawyers. All they have to be is godly men and women and raise up their family. This is very much the same for the family of God. It's not any different, hardly. When gifted leaders rightly work and the saints are properly equipped, then Christian maturity increases. And there's a greater intimacy with God. And the first evidence of this is Christ-likeness. The second evidence, stability. And that's what Paul's going to be talking about here in verse 14. Chapter 4, verse 14. He says, we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. A maturing Christian isn't swayed this way and that way and over there with every new fangled type of doctrine that comes out. I hate to say this, but there are religious quacks out there. And they're waiting to kidnap God's children and get them into their false cult. They prey on them. They don't go after the person who is on skid row because they don't have anything to offer that person that's suffering. So they go after the immature Christian that is already in a church, but they're not being fed the Word of God. Now, last week, I said that the Word of God is the protector of His church. So if you know the Word of God, you won't be led astray. The third evidence of maturity is verse 15. Speaking the truth in love. Truth is joined to love. It has to be that way. It not only speaks of how we relate to one another in God's family, but speaking the truth in love relates to how do you relate to your enemies? How do you speak to them with love? We deal with them with love, but we don't budge from the truth. We just speak in love. And that Greek word for speaking the truth, eleithyou, it's a very difficult word to translate correctly into English. It kind of implies this. Being true, as well as speaking truth and following truth. So you get all those three together in that one phrase. It is the backbone of Christianity ministry. Truth. But truth has to be married to love. Because good tidings, spoken harshly, is not good tidings. How are you today? Okay, I'm sorry I asked. That's not a good tiding. The charm of the message was destroyed by the grating spirit of the messenger. Now, you've heard the expression, don't kill the messenger, I'm just giving you the message. Well, give it with love. We have to be guided by truth if we want to go to the goal that's set before us. And Paul says he races for the goal that's set before him. What is that goal? It is to grow up into Christ, is what it is. Verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Our aim is to grow up into Christ. Interesting word. Growing up into Christ is like being baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You become who you worship. We become Christ-like for everybody to see. It implies a deeper growth leading to a closer union to Jesus Christ. And as the union to Christ, that causes more growth. So it's a perpetual motion machine. You become into Christ, and being into Christ, you grow more. And he causes you to grow. It's kind of like certain vices that we have. The more you snack on them, the more you want to snack on them. All right, I have potato chips, that's mine. Others have chocolate, ice cream. Some have alcohol and drugs. Well, if you take all those and substitute them to Christ, look how much better off you would be. And this growth that Paul's talking about, it's in all things. All things. It's in the whole man. It's in the knowledge of Christ. It's in righteousness. It's in holiness. It's in all the properties of Christ. We are to grow into him. Now, the gap between my spiritual and mortal state and that of Christ that I want to attain to, I have to tell you, it's huge. But yet, such growth is attainable. It's attainable because of my relation to him. It's attainable for the church because of the relation of the body of Christ to Christ. And because of this relation, we should be encouraged not only to seek this growth, but expect it. When I played softball and baseball as a kid, I expected to hit a home run every single time I was at the plate. Didn't happen. I expected it, though. And so we should expect to grow into Christ. Now, verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, he's talking about the body of Christ, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We are to grow. The church is to grow. Not necessarily in size, although I would like that, but that's not up to me. That's up to Christ, who's the head of this church. So the ones he does bring in here, we are to grow in Christ. And as we grow, the body, that's everybody, gets vital substance from Jesus Christ. And not just in the individual sense, you get some and you get some and you get some, that is true, but also as a whole. Because the parts of the body are all connected to one another. See, even though Daniel is the first time I've seen him in this church, he's connected to every one of us because he belongs to the body of Christ. And you belong to the body of Christ when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, no matter where you live, no matter what church you go to, we are connected. And we have to learn how to work not only just for each other, we have to learn how to work with each other. Not to be jealous of the gifts that someone else may have and you don't have that gift. As you look in the church, you see that some are babes. Maybe they just received Christ. Not babes, they're young. You can be a babe in Christ and be my age. But we have babes in Christ. We have young and old men. We have some wise in intellect. Some strong in the faith. Some are warm in love. Others excel in passive virtues. You don't really see the movement of the water there. And yet you see some that are quite active. But all are one spiritual body, stimulating growth from within, each one within himself, and also within the body of church. All depending on the energy that comes from our head, our leader, Jesus Christ. Now, in a healthy church, the building up is continual. It doesn't stop. The construction, so to speak, lack of another word, the construction of the church is to promote peace, purity, prayerfulness, truth. Be active in the work of the Lord. And you do all that stuff in love. No one's contribution in the body of Christ is insignificant. Now, you can be sitting there and said, I don't really do a whole lot. I don't speak up. I don't pray aloud. It's not insignificant. The widow's mite was commended by Jesus, who sat on the other side of the treasury. Solomon built a temple. Joseph provided a tomb. That's all he did. Mary, the mother, gave birth to the child. It was other Marys that bound his body with ointment and wrapped it in linen. And while Joshua was fighting the battle, Moses is on the mountaintop praying. And if you're familiar with the temple, the snuffers, you know what a snuffer is? It puts out the candle instead of blowing on it and blowing wax everywhere. But the snuffers and the little trays in the temple were just as important and necessary as that solid gold lampstand. And the result of everything, of each member of the body, each joint of the body doing their part, is that the church is built up. Now, here's the important lesson. Individual Christians must grow if the whole church is to grow. The church can't grow if the individual doesn't grow. And the degree of our Christian progress is determined by our nearness to Christ. The perfect Christian is the one who is most Christ-like in character. We talked about Christian character last week. Now, some people think the church is a pyramid, and the pastor's up on the top. Others think of the church as the bus. It's driven by the pastor, who just takes the passive passengers where they're supposed to go. But that's not what God sees. God sees the church as a body. This is a body. Every part does its share. I could not have written these notes without my hands. So my hands had an important task to do. Now, I couldn't have come up with any thoughts if I didn't have eyes to read God's word. So, where every part does its share in the church, individual Christians must grow in the knowledge of Christ. They should grow in faith. They should grow in love. Because, oh, that word love, it's not only four letters. It is big. It is the circulation system of the body. You know, it's been discovered that if you take isolated, unloved babies, they don't grow properly, and they are more susceptible to disease. You take a baby that is loved and handled a lot, cuddled and rocked and played with, they mature normally and they grow stronger. That's how it is with the children of God. An isolated Christian can't minister to others, nor can they be ministered to. And we don't manufacture this spiritual unity that we're supposed to have. It's something we already have in Christ. And so we have to protect it and we have to maintain it. Truth unifies. Lies divide. That's why Satan uses lies. Love unites. Selfishness divides. So we have to equip one another. We have to edify one another. So that all of us grow up to be more like Christ. And love is the element of that spiritual progress. A week or a week and a half ago, as I was in the Word and I was preparing something overcame me. And I tried to explain it last week, and I couldn't. You see, what happened was I saw God's love. But I can't tell you what I saw. See, you can feel love. A lot of us feel love. And I feel God's love. But he showed me it physically in my mind. And it was in front of me. And it was behind me. And it was all around me like a bubble. It was like I was encased in a bubble of love. And I saw it. But I can't explain it. Does that make sense? And I didn't want to leave that bubble. And that's what we are told to do. We are to love like Christ in that manner. It's a feeling, or it was, and still is, of peace. Really peaceful. Unexplainable peace. The world could have crashed, didn't matter. Comfort. I didn't worry about a thing. No worries. No pain. And that is what we're told to grow into. As the body of Christ, each part, the hand, the head, the joint, the knee, and even you young ones, there's a purpose that God has for you for being in the body of Christ. And you can't be afraid to share that purpose or to share what he tells you to do. And sometimes it's just to give a little more respect to your parents, maybe. Not too many years ago, you always called your mother and father, sir, and yes, ma'am. That's how you addressed your parents. I don't hear a lot of that today. I'm sure it might be out there somewhere. From the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. See, I watched my wife knit and crochet, and she takes this big, long 275-yard long piece of yarn, and she joins it together, crocheting into this beautiful afghan. And that's what God is telling us as the body of Christ, that we knit together using the talents that he gave us. You may be 6 or 7 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 12, and you use them for the glory of God. And that's what love is. And the result is the church is built up. Now, verse 17 is a whole new topic, which I'm going to hold off until next week. And so, Lord, we come before you as your servant, just waiting for whatever the next request is from you. And Lord, may we hear it clearly so that you don't have to repeat yourself. And may we obey and do what you tell us to do. And if we need extra gifts, you bestow them. If we need extra strength, you provide it. And if sometimes you say, sit still and listen, you give us patience to do that too. And so I stand here as guilty of all, and that you give me the patience I need to do the tasks or not do anything, depending on what you request of me. Thank you for those that came this morning to hear what you had to say, Lord. Put a special blessing on them and protect them and guide them, and a blessing on the refreshments that you provide every week. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen.